plate a potential nugget.
And diving into one of the concepts you discuss in the book, Ravi, you refer to Charles Handy, and you talk about the three kinds of roles that he says will exist in the future: creatives, caregivers, and custodians. I like the framing as these three. Can you say more about how you see these and the implication for individuals to pick a pathway as we go through our journeys?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Charles Handy over the decades. It's just a lot of both vision and wisdom in his work. And so when I read this, I said, aha, this fits. It's exactly what I've been experiencing and noticing, except I have not articulated quite as well. So yeah, I see. I do think that the vast majority of what we call work will fit into one of these three categories. So you can think about creation as all forms of creation. So people who are writing software, people who are creating content of different sorts, people who are building businesses, people who are inventing, that's the creative. And I think there's going to be a flourishing of creative work of all sorts. Then you have frontline workers who are what he calls caregivers, and they're all sorts. Mm-hmm. So this is the sanitation workers, this is the nurse on the front line, and the teacher, and so on and so forth. And there's going, despite automation, I don't think there's going to be a substitute for that human touch, that human interface. So there'll be a lot of frontline workers. And then, you know, you do need to organize in some fashion. So I don't think companies in the way we recognize or organizations are going to go away. And you need a set of people to manage infrastructure, processes, and so on and so forth. So there'll always be what we broadly call the category of managers. But that number is going to be sort of smaller and probably smaller over time. And so so not only will work largely fall in these three buckets, and therefore it's useful for you to reflect on which am I most likely, what am I best suited to, but also more and more of all of us will just be independent freelancers. Not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur, but very few of us are going to be in long-term stable employment contracts. So that's going to be another feature of this future of work. And finally, there's going to be sort of, I suspect, greater and greater inequality. So for instance, if you're a superb creator, and there's a lot of value people see in your creativity, then the chances are you're going to be able to monetize that exceptionally well and be fabulously wealthy. On the other hand, if you're mediocre, then you know you're essentially not going to do too well in any of these categories. So the unlike in our generation, where there was a large middle for people who were moderately okay, I think we're going to see more binary outcomes going forward. So being excellent is, I think, really important, regardless of which of these categories you fit into. I'm sorry for giving such a long-winded response.
No. It's a great point. I think this came up in a different conversation as well. I was talking to a photographer, a gentleman named Atul Kasbekar, in the conversation as well. And he said the same thing. The sort of the one who's at the top of the pole will get the contracts or the assignments. But the next in line, there's just so much supply that you just get crowded out and commoditized in that space.
Yeah, like they said, who was the second man to set foot on the moon? There's a vast difference between one and two, and then an even vaster gap between two and everyone else. And it's not fair. It doesn't feel sort of morally just, but that's just the way it is.
And the way I think about that, Ravi, therefore, the onus is higher on picking something where you will naturally drive yourself to become excellent, right?
Yeah. So, in fact, I was talking to a young audience, and one of them said, look, you know, I really need your advice. I'm mediocre at everything. okay, not good at studies, I'm not good at, I don't have any exceptional. So what do I do? And I think the answer out of mediocrity is to follow your passion and curiosity, and which I write a lot about, and, you know, not live your life by somebody else's expectations of what you should be doing and so on and so forth, but have the courage to sort of figure out what you're best suited for in terms of what you enjoy, what you're good at. And they're more likely to be excellent rather than mediocre, more likely to be successful and sustain that over the years if you follow that path.
So true. I think the way sometimes I think about it is, you know, we all face the two questions, where to go and how to grow at different points in time. I just feel that from a weightage perspective, the where to go question has become a lot more critical to solve today than it was maybe 30 years back, you know, because the stakes are so high.
Hence the book.
Ravi's point on independent producers reminds me of an insight from Linda Grattan, a professor at London Business School and the author of 100 Year Life.
Well, I think, you know, the work that we do is completely changing in the sense that there are more opportunities for you to start your own business because technology is very, very inexpensive, and or anybody can build a platform, for example, and, you know, do something as many people in India are doing right now. There's opportunities for you to do crafts work, you know, to do something that people want to buy. I spend a lot of time in Japan, and there's still a huge number of people engaged in craft work, as indeed there is in India. And I would call these independent producers, and the reason I use that term as opposed to entrepreneurs, is the idea of entrepreneur is that you're growing something. You know, you do it because you want it to be big. And I think that there's a role for each of us in our lives to do something where we're not doing it to grow, we're just doing it to do it. You know, for example, I write books, I'm an author, I'm sort of an independent producer. It's not that I'm saying, you know, I want to write 50 books or I want to run a publishing company. It's just to say, I'd like to produce something for myself or with friends. And I think that's a marvelous part. And in a way, the Industrial Revolution took quite a lot of that out of humanity. You know, as we mechanized work and mechanized the production process, we sort of took away the joy of just making something.
In a way, I would say my practice is that of an independent producer, where I'm able to cobble a portfolio of initiatives together, which are in line with what give me energy and which are of value to the people around. What goes into that portfolio is work in progress, and I'm trying to rebalance the portfolio on a dynamic basis as the life context evolves. But the agency to control what I do, how I do it, and at what intensity is tremendously liberating. If this topic is of interest, you might like reading the book Small Giants by Bo Burlingham. He focuses on companies that focus on being great rather than large, how these companies have deliberately resisted the push for scale and focused on refining the craft rather than pursuing growth for the sake of it. One of the questions I ask my guests when I wrap up my conversation is, what does the term play to potential mean to you? One of the guests, Abhijit Bhaduri, eloquently said that you cannot work to your potential. You can only play to your potential. I don't think there's a more eloquent way to make the point. Thank you for listening.